love for you to open your Bibles in just the few minutes that we have remaining to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, if you want to grab the Bible, it's right in front of you and turn to page 879. That is where you will find Luke 19. At First Baptist Church, I want you to know this, especially if you're a guest with us, we believe that it doesn't really matter what I think. What matters is what the Bible says. So what I have to say in the next few minutes doesn't matter unless it agrees with what God's Word says. And so that's why we always encourage you to open your Bibles, find it on the app on your phone. I want you to see God's Word for yourself today. And I want to try to connect even some of what we heard this morning to the significance of today, which is Palm Sunday. And I heard this fictional story that I think helps us better understand the significance of today. Imagine there's a young doctor who has a wife and three small children, and he volunteers to take a dangerous six-month mission assignment to a place where there's an epidemic of a rare disease. And he takes the assignment because no one else with his special training was willing to go. Imagine the months passing slowly, the kids missing their daddy, mom doing her best to hold everything together. And then as the day of his return approaches, the whole family is full of excitement. The kids are racing around the house shouting, "Daddy's coming home! Daddy's coming home!" And finally, that day arrives. The car pulls in the driveway. The kids charge out the front door. Well, out of the car steps Dad, a good bit thinner than before, bearded to conceal his hollow cheeks, but with a big smile across his weary face. He kneels down on the grass and is smothered by six arms and legs. "Daddy's home." Each one gets his special hug while Mom waits, and finally pulls himself loose and they embrace. "Welcome home. It's good to be back." Now I want you to imagine that young doctor's eyes, because there's a message there. And if you can see it and feel it, you will know something about what Jesus felt as he rode into Jerusalem to shouts of welcome and acclamation. Because what you can see in the doctor's eyes is something he knows, but his family doesn't know. He caught the disease he went to heal and has 1 week to live. This is the scene unfolding before us as we look at Palm Sunday. Because Jesus came on a medical mission trip. Because he was the only doctor who could cure us of the deadly disease of our sin that had infected us all. But in order for him to provide the cure, he had to experience the full effects of our infection. The triumphal entry is a bizarre scene because people are praising the rightful king. But in less than a week, those shouts of acclamation will give way to shouts of condemnation. "Save now, Hosanna!" gives way to "crucify him." And when you picture Jesus during the triumphal entry, riding on a colt, palm branches waving, you should picture someone who knows he is king, but he also knows he is about to die. And this is why we can celebrate Palm Sunday. This is why we can celebrate what God's doing at Adult and Teen Challenge, because the one true king came not first to judge, but first to heal by dying the death that we deserved instead. And so after the spontaneous coronation outside the city of Jerusalem that Luke 19 shares with us prior to these verses, the Gospel of Luke gives us a glimpse into Jesus' emotions of that moment. And that's what we see in Luke 19, 41 through 44. So this is all after the spontaneous pomp and circumstance. And here's what it says. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it. This is Jerusalem. Saying, would that you, Jerusalem, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children with you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you, Jerusalem, did not know the time of your visitation. Now, prior to Jesus' words here, the scene that was unfolding was already bizarre, because this is not how a coronation for a king is supposed to work. The triumphal entry isn't all that triumphal. Coronations aren't supposed to be unplanned, spontaneous, humble, unofficial, superficial, and temporary. This was hardly a formal event. There weren't officials there publicly waiting to welcome Jesus. This was much less than what King Jesus deserved. And usually, at the coronation of a national leader, their speech will promise peace and prosperity for those they are leading. But Jesus' words here promise the opposite for the people of Jerusalem. And during this tearful entry, Jesus is crying over coming destruction. So try to grasp this with me. Jesus has finally arrived at his destination. Weeks earlier, I think it was in Luke chapter 9, he had set his face towards Jerusalem, knowing that death awaited him there. The week that stood in front of Jesus in this moment is the reason that he came to earth. And he's looking at the city of Jerusalem, and he knows that the people of the city are going to be responsible for his unlawful death. But he looks even beyond that, and he knows that in a few years, the city of Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, not one stone left upon another. The king they needed had arrived, but they were going to reject him, and it would one day lead to their demise. And he weeps in that moment, not for himself, but for them. And I just find this passage fascinating, because how merciful do you have to be to look over a group of people that you created, a group of people that God chose to be his own, and to know that they are going to reject your kingship, and instead they are going to treat you as the worst of criminals. You are going to suffer and die at the hands of these people that you have made for your glory. And instead of turning his back and going to another town, instead of being filled with anger and vengeance, Jesus' response is to weep tears of mercy. He's weeping over the destruction that is coming for them. His longing for them and his longing for us was for true peace. This is why he says in verse 42, would that you, even you, had known on this day, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. Jesus is not only crying over their coming destruction, he is crying over their ignorance. They didn't know. In verse 44, Jesus says they didn't know the time of their visitation. And that word visitation is used in the Bible to talk about God coming, and sometimes that's coming to judge, and other times it's him coming to save. And the context of Luke clearly points to the latter, in my opinion. Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and they didn't know that the Savior had arrived. The spontaneous coronation was warranted. Jesus was the true king, and never before had God presented himself in this way. This was completely unique, and they were going to miss it because they didn't know. And through the tears over their ignorance, we can see why Jesus came to this earth. We see why Jesus willingly entered the city that was going to reject him, because we have a God who wants to be known. We have a God who wants to be known. He is not distant. He is not hiding. This is why we want people to know about Adult and Teen Challenge of New Jersey and other things to help them, because we do not have a God that has abandoned us. We have not have a God that has left us to our own demise. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know the salvation and grace that's available in Christ. He's not distant. Case in point, even in a time when there's a warrant out for Jesus' arrest in Jerusalem, he enters that city via parade. Right? He is not hiding. Here I am, nothing to hide. Jesus came to be the physical revelation of the very word of God. If you want to know what God says, listen to Jesus. If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. If you want to know what makes God cry, look at the tears of Jesus. And on this day, Jesus cried, not over his coming death, that's going to be later in the garden. He cries over the spiritual condition of Jerusalem, because the one who could bring true peace had arrived, but they didn't know. Because, see, we don't just need a political leader. We don't just need a political peace or national peace. They didn't know we need peace with God. This is why Jesus left the unending worship of the angels in heaven to instead receive fleeting praise in this broken world. Jesus lived the perfect life that you and I failed to live. He fulfilled the law that we could never fulfill. He demonstrated that the prophets were about him, that he is the Messiah, the rightful heir to the throne of David, and worthy of all the praise we could muster. But because we needed a perfect Passover lamb to be sacrificed instead of receiving a golden crown, King Jesus received a crown of thorns. In the ultimate display of sovereign mercy, he died the death that you and I deserved to die. He took the just punishment for all of our sin on himself at the cross. And because he is sovereign over life and death, he rose from the dead. He conquered sin and the grave. So if you place your faith in the perfect life, sacrificial death, and victorious resurrection of Jesus, all your sins are forgiven. The righteousness of Christ is credited to your formerly guilty account. You become part of the eternal family of God. You can have true peace. That's the gospel. And it's because Jesus didn't come to Jerusalem simply for his name to be lifted up in praise. He came to Jerusalem for his body to be lifted up on a cross. He didn't come to simply be our physical king. He came to be our spiritual king, to reign in our hearts through faith. He didn't come first to judge. He came first to die. And I want you to know today that Jesus experienced emotional turmoil so we could experience spiritual peace. Do you believe that, church? That Jesus experienced emotional turmoil so that you and I could experience spiritual peace. He experienced the fatal effects of the disease of our sin so we could be made well. And he wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. I want you to know that we have a Savior that left home on a dangerous mission to provide the healing that we need. It's a Savior that we don't run from, we run to. Now, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that we don't have to wonder who you are. We don't have to wonder how you feel about us. We don't have to wonder if our relationship with you is okay. Because you are not hiding and you are not distant. but you have made yourself known through the person of Jesus. And I pray today that we would see Jesus both as a worthy king and also as the doctor who is willing to experience the effects of our disease so we could be made well. I pray that we would not conclude that we have to try to make ourselves right on our own, but that we would just bring our mess to Jesus, trusting that he has the healing and true peace that we need. So Jesus, we want to say today that you are worthy of all of our praise. You are worthy of all of our affection. You are our testimony. And I pray that our lives would demonstrate that. That it's not about what we have done, but it's about what you have done in our place. And I pray that our lives would give you the praise that you alone deserve. And I pray that we would share this hope, this truth, with those that have concluded that there's nothing they can do. With those that have concluded that you don't really care, and that you don't really see, and that you don't really love. I pray that we would tell them, and we would demonstrate to them, that there is healing and there is peace, and it's found in Christ. So thank you for Adult and Teen Challenge in New Jersey and what you are doing through them to give them the gospel and to give these men a firm foundation on which they can build their lives, and it's Christ and Christ alone. We pray for more stories of the life change that's made possible because of you. We pray that even this week, through the ministries that we get to participate in, and even just through our own personal outreach, that we would make your name known. We pray this all in that name, Jesus' name. Amen.